I'm going to read just a couple of verses from that psalm we read earlier. Let's read verses 4, 5, and 6. Verse 4 says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art God, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us now as we look into your word. Give us grace tonight, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the singing. We thank you for the prayers. Lord, we thank you for the worship. We pray now that you would just meet with us, Lord, we pray. Help us get something from thy word tonight that we can use in our lives. So, Lord, continue on with us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Now tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about gaining spiritual encouragement. It comes in many forms at times, trying to gain encouragement from different things. I have kind of a strange thing that I've been doing for years, since very early on in my Christian experience. And that is, when I go to a fellow believer's funeral and I get that prayer card, I paste it in the back of this Bible. And I've been doing it for a while, and there's a lot of them in there. I got a couple that I got to add to it. And this is a Bible that I used to use a lot more, but it's gotten pretty filled up with them. I don't use it as much anymore because it's kind of falling apart. But I mean, it's way up into the maps and the Gazette there. They're filled with funeral cards of dear friends of mine. And it's not that I look at those and in any kind of religious fashion. It's more of just a remembrance of them and what they've done in this church, or if they're not a part, some of them aren't a part of this church, some are from just friends that were believers, and some are, even there's a one from work that has passed away. I look at those and I just think of what they've done in their life, and the life they led, and what they've done for me. I remember their little tendencies and their sense of humor, their generosity to the work here, or with their time and resources. Different things just encourage me when I look at those old cards. And another thing, it reminds me of my own mortality. All of us are going to have one of those cards one of these days. And another reminder, when I look at those cards, a lot of those people are a lot younger than me that are in the back of my Bible there. So it's just something that encourages me when I look back and see that they lived their lives to Christ, and they were victorious in their living, and their testimony rings true. And they have they're part of that cloud of witnesses for me that encourage me to lay aside sins and things that load me down and to press towards that mark. They're the proof that that mark is attainable, for they have good testimony and fulfilled their work till the end of their days when the Lord took them home. So in these days, we all need some spiritual encouragement, I believe. There's sin abounding, the violence on the rise, immorality on the rise as well, bad news, politics, and legislation of wickedness. All these things tend to wear us down. So we need to gain spiritual encouragement. But first, I want to identify a few things that can impair our encouragement before we look on to things that will that we can gain spiritual encouragement by. For it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17 says to us. And if we're and if that is true, then the opposite is true as well, isn't it? If we're not hearing the word of God, the unbelief is going to creep in. If we're not if we're not under that hearing, if we're not looking into God's word, we're not exposed to the hearing of the gospel, things of unbelief will enter in. Things will discourage us, and that any kind of spiritual gain we're going to get out and encouragement is going to be lost. Also, things that can hinder us are our news feeds on our phones, perhaps sports that we're either involved in or watching, perhaps worldly experiences, different things we want to do and experience in our lives, media, music, all these things that can be the opposite of hearing the word of God, and unbelief will soon encumber us and come in. Sometimes it's just in little incremental steps, isn't it? Isn't that how it goes sometimes? A little thing here, a little slip up there, you missed a couple meetings here, miss your Bible reading, perhaps your devotion times, and little by little, and the next thing you look back and you wonder how you've gotten so far away. And little by little, those incremental steps, we have to be so careful at this. And it's kind of like a spiritual tinnitus. Anybody know what tinnitus is? Anybody have it? Anybody had tinnitus? I have tinnitus from 30 years plus of working in machine shops, and my ears are ringing right now. So it's just something that I have physically. But spiritually, we can get that as well. We can get a spiritual tinnitus. And it's far more serious than just joking around about a physical ailment that we may have. Because spiritual tinnitus can lead to a spiritual deafness, that ringing in our spiritual ears, that we can lose touch with God. We can lose touch with God's Word. We read God's Word, it doesn't have that appeal to us anymore. Oftentimes, we perhaps are under the hearing of the word, and it just doesn't have that grasp on us. We're not thirsting after it. Those things that are impairing us, those things that we've mentioned earlier that are in our lives that perhaps shouldn't be so much in our lives, are impairing us and can lead to this deafness. So worldly teaching, media, entertainment, we're all going to lead to this. It all can lead to this very quickly. And a second way we can be impaired, and it kind of comes through this as well, or before that, one other thing just to mention on this spiritual tinnitus, something that I just wanted to add that can really influence our hearing is our pride, right? Our pride. I've been guilty of this. I've gone on vacation, perhaps. I can just remember a time vividly that this was. I was away fishing myself, and it's the Lord's Day, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to this church, and I think already before I even open the door, yeah, I know more than this guy. I know more than this pastor does. Boy, was I rebuked on that occasion, because I met some of the nicest people to this day, and I had a great time. They invited me to the communion service, and their tradition was to have a meal afterwards. They sent me away with food, and it was just a great time, a great message as well. And from that time on, I never thought that way again, that when I'm on vacation, I pray, and I think you should too, pray that you'll be fed that day. Even though you're at a strange church, a strange place, pray that there's something in that message for you, because that minister was praying for that message. He's praying for his congregation. Perhaps he's been there for decades and loves the Lord, and he wants the people in that building to hear his word. So don't let pride, spiritual pride, get in your way of your hearing. So leave that aside. So our spiritual hearing can get impaired with these things. Another way our and we can impair our encouragement is our thoughts, right? As we hear and see things going on in the world, all the wickedness, and we tend to think bad thoughts. We tend to start thinking, and even can lead to a spiritual depression and sadness. And spiritual depression is very real. Just because you may not be troubled with depression, it does not mean it doesn't exist. It's just like a person that that would struggle perhaps with gambling or something. Another person might not think anything of it and be tempted at all in that way. But I knew a person that was so tempted by gambling that he couldn't even drive down certain parts of the streets around town because there's bookies that lived there back then. Now you can just gamble on your phone, right? Isn't that how it's done these days? And it's legal, which is hard to believe. But anyway, this spiritual depression is real, and it can lead and really impair our spiritual encouragement in the Word and how we look upon the world. So not only do we get wrapped up in our thinking about what's going on in the world and the wicked things that are happening, we can get wrapped up in worldly thought, worldly psychology. We can get start worrying about things we have no control of, things in our lives, perhaps in our families, our finances, when I'm going to retire, if I retire, all those things. We can really get worried about them, and they'll impair us if we're not doing it prayerfully, looking forward to those things. So these things in our minds that impair our ability to gain the spiritual encouragement that we need. And just a third impairment is being around the worldly people. I work in factory, as I mentioned, and you're around guys. Thankfully, there's been a few believers where I work over the years, and I've had some times of great blessing with them. Keep in touch with several of them, but for the most part, most of us, if we're working out in the world, we're around a lot of worldly people. And when you're working like my environment, you're not in the public. You're not in like a place that is open to the public, and it's just a worldly can be really wear you down, can really wear you down and just wear on you. The language, the things that are discussed, the vainness of so much that is said, so much that is done, can really, really wear you down. And it's like in this psalm here in verse 19, it says, "Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred." Now, sadly, that can happen as well. You get despised and hated around the workplace for something you have to stand for, or something that is dear to you and not dear to them at all. But also, it can happen at school. It can happen, sadly, in homes. And these things can really set us back, this impairment, just being around and being worn down by ungodly people, and being around the world and having to work in the world. And by the end of the week, we can just be really worn out, and we cannot be ready. We may miss the blessing of being in the Lord's house. It goes on too long, being influenced by others, by other people. Eventually, they influence us more than we can influence them with the gospel. So that's another sad thing that can happen. That's just three I mentioned. There's many more we could talk about. So these impairments, spiritual tinnitus, remember that one, spiritual tinnitus. It's the world's noise being loud in our ears. And thinking upon things that are constantly negative. Just to add a fact here, 90% of all news is bad news. That's something that I read. And also, there was a newscast it was a Russian newscast did an experiment. They did nothing but positive news, and they lost two-thirds of their viewership in one day. So that should tell you something about what the world likes to look at. Okay, so thinking can be stunt our spiritual growth and impair our encouragement. And also, we just mentioned, being around our unsaved friends, our family, our co-workers, schoolmates, to the point where we start to think like they do. Okay. So what's the antidote for these things? So that's the negative. What's the positive? So if we have these impairments, there needs to be something that we can do to triumph and gain true spiritual encouragement. Well, it's pretty simple. You know, you're not going to get any theological quantum physics from me for sure here. The first is to eliminate that spiritual tinnitus. We need to hear less of the world and more of the Word, right? Less of the world, easy to remember. Less of the world, more of the Word, right? Psalm 25 verses 4 and 5 say, "Show me thy ways, Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." So this has to come from God's word. And also, I didn't read it. Let's read Romans 17. Romans 10:17 says there, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we need to hear the word of God. How are we going to hear the word of God? Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" So we're going to hear God's word through the preaching of his word, through the preaching here at the church, or perhaps if it's during the week, you need to get a spiritual boost out of the Word of God. You can look on sermon audio. Maybe you have a favorite pastor you like to hear. Go on there, or you have a Bible reading that you can play on your phone and hear the Word that way. There's lots of ways in 2021 where we can hear the Word, not just on Sunday. At Sunday services. So we need to hear God's word, and that faith will be built up through the hearing of his word. God's word tells us right here that faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. So that's what we need to do first and foremost to get rid of that spiritual tinnitus, to hear the word of God, to hear, to be in the house of God all you can. To hear God's word, take advantage of the other means that we have, and that will be such a spiritual enrichment to us all if we would hear more preaching, more faithful preaching of God's word. Also, we need to read God's word more. Have a program, have a set time that we read God's word. Or a Bible reading program or a study guide, something that'll get us in the Word consistently and every day. You don't have to spend hours and hours and hours at it. Perhaps some days you will, and maybe other days you don't have that kind of time in your work. But every day, pray over God's Word, not just a quick couple of verses. Pray about the words that you're going to read. And ask the Lord to help you use part of that part of what you read in your life. That's something that we need to do. We need to read God's word, make preparation to hear. Don't be like me when I went to that church thinking I knew more than the pastor there. We need to prepare to be blessed by the word of God. Be expecting to hear something from a sermon, to get something from God's word. Expect it, because God promises that he will give us faith if we look into his word and hear his word. So less world, more word is the key for overcoming spiritual tinnitus. So as we hear more of God's word, this should also help us with that second impairment, thought. So much thought goes into what we see and hear, right? So Philippians 4, let's look at a couple verses there in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And verses 8 and 9 say there, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul is exhorting there to think on these things. Well, a nice list there of things to think about instead of the things that are messing the world up, right? We can think on these just and pure things that are found here. And there, Paul even that in that verse says, and those things that you have learned and received and heard of me, do. So what Paul is saying there, the things that I've taught you, the things that I've written to you about, you do those as well and think on these things. Now, when you read this list of good things to think about, there should only be one person that comes to mind there, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. He embodies all these things. He is the one that's absolutely true and trustworthy all the time. He's always trustworthy. He is just and the justifier of our souls. He is pure. He's never sinned, never had a guile, never said a cross word or a sinful phrase or had a sinful thought. He is pure. He's lovely in everything he does. Everything he does for his people, everything he's done on this earth in his ministry, everything he does now at the Father's right hand is lovely in all ways. He's of good report. Nobody could ever lay charge to him for anything. He has good report in his gospel as well. His good news, that gospel that he gives to us, it's absolutely true and trustworthy. He doesn't get any better than that. Then the virtue and praise all belong to Christ. Keep these thoughts in our minds. We need to keep those thoughts in our heads at all times. Think of what Christ has done for us. Think of the payment that had to be made for our sins. Think of that great penalty that was paid, that equivalent of spending an eternity in hell was poured out upon him for us, and he was able to accomplish that punishment and be victorious over it, and in saving us from our sins. What a glorious gospel we have to share, to have for ourselves and to tell others about. That's something to think about, something to think about more so than the cares of this world. And to think about our fellow man, our fellow, because soon it's all going to be over for them. It's all going to be done. Preaching and sharing the gospel, all that's going to be over in a short time, either in their death or when the Lord comes. Time is so short. That's another thing it reminds me of when I look at those funeral cards. They're timeless, so quickly gone. And it's such a check on our lives when we think about that, how quickly time passes, how quickly time is going for the lost, and they're going into a lost eternity. I think of some words from Reverend Robert Murray McShane. I'm just going to read this because it's always meant a lot to me. Oh, brethren, be wise. Why stand ye all the day idle? In a little moment, it will all be over. In a little while, and the day of grace will be over. Preaching, praying will all be done. A little while, and we shall stand before the great white throne. A little while, and the wicked shall not be. We shall see them go away into everlasting punishment. A little while, and the work of eternity shall begin. We shall be like him. We shall see him day and night in his temple. We shall sing the new song without sin and without weariness forever and ever. Robert Murray McShane, his pastor, his time was very short. He died when he was 29 years old. And I'll tell you, you read his life story, and I'll tell you, it's amazing what he did in such a short time. So that says something in passing there to take into consideration, those words from the long past Robert Murray McShane. So lastly, I want to just speak on that third impairment of being around and working with the people of this world. I think the way to get out of that is to spend more time with the Lord's people. Okay, every time you get a chance to be around the Lord's people, it's always good, isn't it? Isn't it going to the Lord's house, whether you come here or whether you're on vacation, when you meet up with some believers, it's like you're meeting up with old friends, even though you may have never met them before. And it's a great experience to be around the Lord's people. So we need to take advantage of that. We need to get advice from those that are older than us, right? You might want to have a spiritual mentor. You don't have to tell them that they are your mentor, but sometimes that's a good thing to have somebody that bounce things off of, to ask questions about, to get maybe a little bit of advice from. It's always good to take the advantage of those around you that perhaps have more experience with spiritual things than you do. Pray with them and for them. Bear their burdens. This is the Lord's people. Bear their burdens, and they're going to bear yours. Be with the Lord's people. During the week, maybe call a friend for some encouragement, and you'll both be blessed. Isn't that the truth? When you give somebody a call that perhaps you haven't seen or talked to for a long time, be with the Christ people. That will definitely spiritually charge your batteries from being around the world so much. Get with the Lord's people, and you'll be blessed greatly. A couple verses before we close here. First Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. That there should be, we'll break it into a sentence here, break it into a thought, but you'll get the idea. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Isn't that interesting? There were members in particular. We each have a particular place in the Lord's body. And when somebody's missing, if you're missing from here, or it makes the rest of the body have trouble working, right? It's kind of like when you have a problem with your own body, with a sore knee or arthritis in your hand or something like that. It impairs the rest of your body. Same idea there. We're all the body of Christ on this earth, and members in particular. Also in Romans chapter 12, read a couple verses there. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your responsible service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to drop down to verse 4. Says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Again, there's the importance there of the body and the different members of the body of Christ. Isn't that phrase, the body of Christ, I think it's kind of something we say, but it's really hard to get your head around sometimes, that the visible body of Christ on this earth is His church, and we're a part of it. What a wonderful place to be in the body of Christ. So we need to take full advantage of this connection that we have with the Lord's people. That is a great advantage that the Christian has, and also we need to as Philippians, I believe it's Philippians 2 says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Okay, if we all do that, if we're all looking after one another, what a great place this could be, right? If we're all thinking one another's best interests, what a wonderful place the body of Christ is. So this message tonight, we're going to just close up for tonight. This message has been mostly for believers. The night's almost gone. This message is going into eternity. You know, but if you're here right now and you don't have Christ, none of this is for you. What a sad state to be in the world and have all that hanging on you, to have those situations and thoughts and different things in this world. What a sad place to be. I think it's far better to be with Christ and His people. And this world not be everything. I mean, it's so much to us. It is. It's obviously, we live in this world. Our very elements that our body is made up of comes from the world. We're attached to this world. But being in Christ, we know that there is hope, that we're going to leave all this behind and be with Him. And Christ tells us in His Word there in John, in 1 John, In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful and just. Remember Christ being, He is so just. He is the justifier and He is just. His word is forever true. And it's never going to change. He's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, and He'll forgive our sins, and He's going to what? He's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those sins that have been laid upon, that are laid upon us, will be gone. They will be done away with in Christ, never to be brought to our charge ever again. For He did away with them at the cross. He paid that penalty. He paid for our forgiveness. It was His Father's perfect will to do so. And He did His Father's will perfectly. What a great Redeemer we have. I hope these three things that can encourage us. The Lord's, especially being in His Word, being around His people, thinking about the things that are all about Christ. Those things need to be on the forefront of our minds. All the other things will take care of themselves. You know, it's something. I mean, we need to be informed. We need to react upon different things in our lives and be up to date. But it doesn't have to be everything. I think Christ needs to be everything for us. And with that, let's just close in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us. We thank you for the great encouragement we get from Christ in his word. We thank you for that volume that you've preserved throughout the centuries, Lord. And you've given it to us that we can hold it in our hands in one volume, everything we need to know about you and your Son. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a great privilege it is to have that book and to be able to read it. We pray that you'd help us take full advantage of that, to take full advantage of others, Lord, that have studied your word and preach your word faithfully. Help us with that. Help us to bear one another's burdens and encourage one another. Oh, Lord, help us with these things. Help us put, the world on the back burner and Christ's word in the forefront. Oh, Lord, give us that grace, we pray. Lord, and if there's any here, Lord, that do not know you, Lord, we pray that you would come tenderly and kindly, save them from their sins, Lord, and encourage them to, oh, Lord, to take up Christ's cross and follow after him the rest of their days. Lord, be with us. Be with your people, we pray, this week. Lord, we don't know what's to come these next days. We just pray that you would help us and prepare us and bless us, Lord. And might you spare us all again to come here next Lord's Day to be with your people. So, Lord, continue on with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.